is Alexis Feinberg, and she is a project analyst with NYU CUNY Prevention and Research Center. And she'll be presenting on a community needs assessment informing a place-based community health worker and health advocacy initiative. I just want to thank everyone for staying this long. I know that it's really beautiful outside, so I appreciate the efforts to come and hear my presentation. As she mentioned, I'm going to present on a community needs assessment that was conducted to inform a place-based community health worker and health advocacy initiative. Before I begin, I just want to point out the four logos on the screen over here, because I think this is what makes this community needs assessment and the initiative so important and impressive, is that all these agencies are working together. This includes the New York City Department of Health, the NYU CUNY Prevention Research Center, which is two academic institutions, Community Service Society, a nonprofit that manages health advocates, and the New York City Housing Authority, which I will refer to as NYCHA, and it is public housing in New York City, which is home to over 400,000 individuals. Just as a way of a background, East and Central Harlem is a very vibrant community with a rich cultural identity and a growing economy. However, it is also home to many public housing residents that suffer from high rates of chronic diseases like high blood pressure, diabetes, and asthma. The NYC Department of Health, in response, began an intervention in five Harlem public housing developments, and these were selected based on high rates of diabetes per the A1C registry. This initiative is led by the Harlem Health Advocates Partnership, which I will refer to as HAP, which aims to reduce disparities in chronic diseases among public housing residents. So how does HAP aim to reduce disparities? HAP wants to link residents to community health workers who are frontline public health workers who are from the communities in which they serve, so they understand the norms, the values, and the strengths of their communities, and they provide one-on-one health coaching and group-level workshops to residents. In addition, it links residents to health advocates who help residents find affordable or low-cost health insurance, understand medical bills, review plan options, and in general help residents navigate health insurance. The intervention's objectives relate to both the community health workers, the health advocates, and the communities in which they serve. So it's to reduce rates of chronic disease through culturally tailored health education and prevention counseling, to increase the self-efficacy of residents for healthy behavior change, to increase the appropriate use and satisfaction with social services and healthcare, and reduce the systemic barriers that impede use. In addition, it's to really build the leadership and the capacity of the community to address health needs among residents through community organizing, education, and advocacy. So the evaluation of this initiative is conducted by the NYU CUNY Prevention Research Center and includes two parts: a community needs assessment, which is what I'm really focusing on in this presentation, and a second part, which is an individual level longitudinal evaluation. And I just want to comment, for individuals to receive the intervention, they need to live in the five public housing developments, and they need to have either asthma, diabetes, or hypertension. So the community needs assessment was a rapid telephone survey that was fielded prior to the intervention, and it was conducted between December 2014 and January 2015. It included 1,123 NYCHA residents aged 35 or older living in the five East Harlem intervention developments. It included individuals 35 or older because they are the individuals who are most likely to have the three key chronic conditions. In addition, another 541 NYCHA residents aged 35 or older in comparable developments were also surveyed to serve as a comparison group for the longitudinal component. All participants were randomly selected from the NYCHA tenant lists, and the surveys were conducted in English and Spanish and weighted to the intervention and comparison development populations. The overall response rate was 43.5%, but the cooperation rate was 74% to 80%. In addition, 55 residents with the chronic conditions participate in six focus groups to share their daily living experiences. And the needs assessment objectives were to really learn the health status and practices of the NYCHA residents. This includes the prevalence in the community from the three chronic conditions, asthma, diabetes, and hypertension, multimorbidity and functional limitations due to health, and chronic disease management. In addition, it's to identify healthcare access and navigation issues. So where are these residents seeking care? What is the extent of uninsurance and problems with insurance in the community and other barriers to access? In addition, it's to recruit volunteer candidates for the intervention. So the results. So approximately 12,720 residents live in the five intervention NYCHA developments. And as I mentioned, about 1,000 of those were surveyed. Residents were older than the NYC general public, and the majority were women and Black or Latino. And for health insurance, we found that almost all residents reported having health insurance, 95%. And as you can see, among the uninsured, about 75% had government-sponsored health insurance. However, problems navigating insurance and healthcare were quite common. This includes plans refusing to pay for medical bills or residents saying that they also had trouble navigating the healthcare system. For medical care, it was found that nearly one in five residents, 18%, reported relying on emergency departments for regular medical care. The largest majority use local health clinics in the community. 14% reported needing medical care in the past year and not receiving it. This was highest among the 50 to 64-year-old age group, which is a time in life when health problems start emerging. In terms of health and behavior, 39% reported that poor health limits their activities. 21% reported currently smoking. A comparison to this from the Community Health Survey of individuals 35 and older in New York City found that 16% were current smokers. For diet and obesity, 14% reported their diet was somewhat or very unhealthy, and 77% reported height and weight levels consistent with being overweight or obese. For the chronic conditions, we found that rates of chronic conditions were elevated in this community compared to the NYC population, and that 3 out of 4, 74% of residents had at least one of the three conditions that qualify residents for CHW services. And as you can see here, the comparisons to NYC estimates from the Community Health Survey in New York City. I did not show this in the slide over here, but in addition, it was over 50% of residents had more than one chronic condition as well. In terms of managing conditions, among those with hypertension, nearly one-third of the residents reported sometimes forgetting to take their medicine, and less than half reported checking blood pressure at home. Among those with diabetes, within the past year, 8% of the residents were hospitalized due to diabetes. Additionally, among those with current asthma, more than one-third, 35%, used an emergency room or urgent care center in the past year. And then, of course, because this community needs assessment was also to recruit individuals into the intervention, questions were asked about CHWs. And at the time of the survey, more than half of the NYCHA residents were not familiar with the CHW concept. 47% of adults with asthma, diabetes, or hypertension expressed interest in receiving HAP CHW services. And this favorable response was strongest among adults under 65 years and with limited social resources. So the partners work together to generate recommendations based on these findings to inform the intervention. And these include recommendations on outreach. And one such recommendation was expanding the outreach strategy to target the different demographic subgroups in the community, particularly hard-to-reach residents. And this includes homebound seniors or individuals who have functional limitations and aren't able to leave their homes. It also included workforce development, so additional training and structure is needed to ensure that the CHWs can effectively help residents navigate the care that they need, and then they need to address these important medication and disease management considerations. For program implementation, the field staff should raise awareness on prevention and detection of chronic conditions, especially hypertension. So, for example, in the group-level workshops, it's important for the CHWs and or health advocates to speak about hypertension because the prevalence is so high in this community. And for partnerships and linkages, given that so many of the residents have such insurance coverage, there's a potential to really strengthen the partnerships between the healthcare providers and patients in the community, and that a structured system needs to be developed to ensure that these referrals are successful. So these results were disseminated in a report that were authored by all the partners and that was led by the NYU CUNY Prevention Research Center. This report includes the results that I presented in my presentation, as well as things that I was not able to cover, and the results of the focus group. So it has a more personal touch that explains what's really going on in this community. And I just want to thank all the partnerships and collaborations that allow this intervention and community needs assessment to occur. And here is more information about the principal investigator, as well as myself, and I would love to take any questions.
What would you anticipate then, like a community health worker would do? Would it be a weekly visit, a monthly visit? Would it go for an hour or a morning? I'm just kind of curious, it's new to me, you know. I mean, what kind of an impact would you anticipate from that?
So I think you're asking two questions. One, what is the level of interaction between the community health workers and the residents in the community, and what sort of impact are we expecting? I would say that the community health workers were expected to have six one-on-one health coaching sessions, as well as have these group-level workshops, but they also tailor their intervention to the residents' needs. Some residents are, have comorbidities and require more interaction. And your second question, what sort of change are we expecting to see? And I think at first what is expected is to see more healthy behavior change and more interaction with the healthcare system.
And I have a question.
Sure.
So my understanding is that New York City has taken their community health survey and used that to create community profiles. So there, I would suspect that there's a profile for the East Harlem area.
Right.
Was that used to inform the community needs assessment that you did, or kind of my question is, were you asking double questions? And if you were, meaning you were asking questions that were already being reported in CHS for East Harlem, and if so, why would that be needed going forward?
Right. So I think a lot of what the report had that I was talking about with our survey compared to what was being seen in the community community health survey. I think this was more specific to the community that we were really targeting. So individuals were 35 or older, they were specifically living in public housing and the developments that we were interested in, and it asked additional questions that weren't in the community health survey.
So the community health survey estimates that you presented, was that for all of New York City, or was that for East
Harlem? That was for all of New York City.
It's just because I'm wondering if, is there any talk going forward of not maybe needing to ask some of those questions again? Can you use the community health survey's community profiles to supplement, to inform a community needs that health needs assessment?
Yeah, no, I think that is a good point. I do just think that this community needs assessment was supposed to be very specific to the community that we're targeting, and it also was used for outreach and to inform the intervention. So many of the individuals that ended up being enrolled into the intervention, their first contact came from this community needs assessment. So that was also helpful and it helped kind of launch the intervention. So it had that twofold function.
Also, you want to be able to connect the specific questions about community health workers with the more general health questions, and from separate surveys, we can do that.
Yeah.
Although you should be able to link things. My point speaks to is just redundancy of data collection, or if us asking kind of the same thing in a different way, and just trying to bring that in, or harness the data collection we do already, for other needs, that's all.
think it's an interesting point. But I will say that I presented these results to the community health workers and the health advocates and stakeholders in the community, and it's been really helpful for them to really understand before they start working with the participants and the residents who they are working with. And I think that because it's so tailored and because it's so specific, it helps, and it allows the intervention to be stronger because of that baseline data.
I just had a question. So my name is Shahid, and I'm from Virginia. We also work with community health workers on the 1305 and the 1422, which is related to 1305. I just wanted to know, in New York City, are the CHWs that you're working with, are they certified, and are they volunteers or paid?
They are not certified. They are extensively trained, and they are paid.
Okay.
I can't speak so much to the training, but I know that it is done by NYU, and they have extensive experience in training CHWs.
Okay, and then one last follow-up question you may or may not know. How do you track the, the follow-up that the CHWs provide to the people in the housing?
So the CHWs are managed through the Department of Health, and they have their own tracking system where they work with the CHWs, how often they're contacting participants, how often they're seeing their participants. I can't really speak to that. I'm not involved in that, but I know that that tracking is very important for CHWs to be successful.
It's been an issue for us in Virginia, you know, trying to develop a tracking tool. So we were trying to go with something that was electronic in nature, but we ended up defaulting to something that was more readily available and simpler to, implement at the time, which is a paper-based tracking form. So right. I was just curious.
I believe the Department of Health is using Salesforce as a way to track their CHW interactions and with the participants and the participant info.
Okay. Great. Great presentation.
Thank you. And thank you.